This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Second hour of four underway on Grant and Danny. We've got tickets to see the Capitals at Capital One Arena on November 22nd when they welcome the Ottawa Senators to town. If you want to go to that game, you've got to be listening to the show. A little over 2 hours from now, we're going to give those tickets away at about 1:15 right here on The Fan. Kicking off our second hour, before we get into where the NFC East ranks among all the divisions in football and the NFL, we'll rank them coming up in just a little bit. Wanted to dabble down a level and talk College Rock. It was a great weekend in college football. None of the games delivered to the way that maybe we wanted. They weren't as close, but there were some big surprises.
Things happened.
Matt Fortuna is the national college football reporter for The Athletic. You can check them out on Twitter at TheAthleticCFB. Matt, thanks so much for the time. More stunning to you, the way Notre Dame got dismantled by Miami or the fact that Georgia got shredded by Auburn?
I would say both. They were very similar teams to me. I saw them both play each other in a one-point game in week two in South Bend, and these were both teams that had really good defenses, really good run games, but had, I don't want to call them question marks, but very young quarterbacks. And so you figured the only way to beat either of these teams moving forward was going to pressure them in the third and long situations and basically see how they handle big game environments on the road and with incredible defensive lines. And neither Jake Fromm nor Brandon Wimbush were really up to the test. Neither of them really gave their teams chances to win. They fell behind early. And when you take the run game out of it and you put all that pressure on a young arm, they screw up. At least that's what they did last week. And so it, for both teams now, they find themselves in a bit of a predicament here, although Georgia at least still has a schedule in the SEC title game in front of them where they have a chance to play their way back in.
Now, Matt, you kind of led me to my next question here. Who in that group of four is in that's going to be out, and who outside that group of four is out but going to end up in your mind?
Well, in that top four, I mean, I think the loser of the ACC title game is going to be the one that's left out, whether that's Clemson or Miami. I was a little surprised to see Clemson, a one-loss Clemson team, ranked ahead of an undefeated Miami team. I think that eliminates pretty much any chance that Miami can afford a loss in that game if they were to finish 11-1 with a close loss to Clemson. As for those on the outside looking in, I think you got to look at the Big Ten, and particularly Wisconsin. They're number five right now. They're still undefeated. They haven't played the toughest of schedules, but they're going to have some big opportunities coming up in the next couple of weeks. Obviously, the game day game at home against Michigan this Saturday, and then a Big Ten title game probably against Ohio State. Although, given the way the schedule shakes out with Wisconsin and Ohio State these next 2 weeks, Michigan does have the chance to not only play spoiler here, but really put the Big Ten in a bit of a bind. I mean, if they were to win out and finish 7-2 in conference play, there's the potential for a four-way tie in that East Division, and that's going to get all sorts of crazy.
Let me go back to the ACC portion of this. Miami's unbeaten, blew out Notre Dame. Clemson ranked ahead of them. I guess Miami should have just gotten beat by a bad Syracuse team then, and maybe they could have ranked higher. How do you justify that? I don't get that.
So that was my biggest takeaway and question from this week's rankings as well. I thought it was the one of the three so far that was most vulnerable to questions when you put Clemson up there. And really when you have an Oklahoma team at number four that's coming off a huge win over a top 13 TCU team. The way they explained it kind of made sense, although I don't necessarily agree with the premise. Basically, that Syracuse loss for Clemson is slightly more forgivable because their starting quarterback, Kelly Bryant, went into that game with an injury and left that game with an injury, and we've been able to see what Clemson is like at full strength, and they're a very good football team. Why is Miami not getting the same pass for their starting running back, Mark Walden, being out for the season? Well, in the committee's eyes, because he's out for the season, Miami no longer is Miami with Mark Walden the way Clemson can still be Clemson with Kelly Bryant. So when they say the four best teams, they really do mean the four best teams more than the four most deserving, and I think that's what's upset a lot of Miami fans with the way the rankings shook out this week. And rightfully so. I get what they're saying, how they justify it, but I can't say I really agree with that premise.
All right, Matt. So I'm looking at the way the schedule is going to shake out. You mentioned the one-loss ACC team could obviously do this if Clemson is able to win the conference championship game. I'm looking at the Big Ten, and there's still that path for them to get frozen out altogether. And I just can't believe that's going to sit well with all these very, very rich people that make these kinds of decisions. Is there a shot that the Big Ten doesn't have a rep?
There's definitely a shot. I mean, basically, if Wisconsin loses another game, they're going to be out because their schedule just won't hold up.
Right.
If Michigan were to, create a scenario like I mentioned earlier where it's all sorts of chaos, I don't see how anyone from the Big Ten gets in. I think Penn State would probably be the East rep if that came to fruition, and they'd be playing a one-loss Wisconsin team, which probably wouldn't be a big enough win to get the Nittany Lions in. But if you're the Big Ten right now, you're basically rooting for I would say Alabama to win out because you want as less chaos around the country as possible. And the SEC is the only league right now that probably has that outside chance of getting two teams in, just because Georgia might have a chance to avenge that Auburn loss in the SEC title game, or has a chance to beat Alabama in the SEC title game. And that will be the interesting one for me. If a 12-0 Alabama team loses its conference title game, really doesn't have any big wins to show for it other than Auburn at the end of the year, can you envision the committee keeping out a 12-1 Alabama team? I can't, but they might not have the resume, especially when compared to a one or two-loss Big Ten team.
I think they'd have to be in at 12-1. At @Matt_Fortuna on Twitter. Speaking of the Big Ten, that's the one ranked matchup we've got this weekend. After it seemed like all the games were ranked games a weekend ago, you've got 19 Michigan, 5 Wisconsin. Are the Badgers in any trouble at noon at home, or do you think they roll?
They should be in good shape. I mean, they can't throw two pick sixes the way they did last week. Michigan's slightly more talented than Iowa, but hey, that's the number one defense in the country right now, and they're playing like it. And they've overcome a lot of injuries, both at linebacker and on the defensive line. They seem to. I was there yesterday. They're a little bit healthier than they've been in the past couple of weeks. I think they think Dakota Dixon and some of these other guys who are banged up are going to be able to go, but. I just don't think Michigan has the offense to really keep up with any elite team right now, especially when facing a defense as good as Wisconsin's. I know they look a little more efficient since they made the quarterback switch, and that makes them a bit of a wild card here because we know that Wolverine defense is absolutely ferocious. It's number one versus number three coming up this Saturday from a total defense ranking standpoint. But I just have a hard time seeing Michigan in that environment being able to score enough to really give themselves a chance to beat Wisconsin, unless their defense is able to come up with a couple of big plays the way Iowa's was last week.
Matt Heisman Watch, is it Baker Mayfield's award at this point? I mean, last year we already knew if Lamar Jackson just took a knee for the rest of the season, he was still going to win the damn thing because he was head and shoulders above everyone. I feel like it's closer this year, but it still feels like it's Mayfield's.
Yeah, Lamar basically did take a knee with that offensive line the last couple of weeks of last season and this season for that matter, but I just have a hard time seeing Baker surrendering his hold on this thing. I mean, he'll have a Big 12 title game in addition to the two final regular season games as well. And I guess when you're the front runner, that gives you more opportunities to screw up, so to speak. But short of, a three-pick absolute choke job in the Big 12 title game that somehow keeps the Sooners out of the playoff picture, I just don't think there's a legitimate number two here. There are a lot of really good players who are probably going to make it to New York and not win. I think if you look at like our Heisman watch this week, there were 6 or 7 different players who also received votes. But I think that also speaks to just how dominant Baker Mayfield has been. He's head and shoulders above everyone right now, and everyone's kind of playing for seconds.
Matt, I normally have a pretty strong opinion on college quarterbacks and whether I like them to be good in the NFL or not. I don't yet on Baker Mayfield. If I had to put money on it, I would say he's not going to be a great NFL prospect. The size bothers me a little bit. I see him run out of clean pockets pretty routinely. He does a lot of whirling dervish, Michael Vick. Offensive lines get called for holding penalty things at the next level that annoy me, Johnny Manziel style. But he's also got a big-time arm. What do you think of him as a pro prospect?
Now, I was asked this the other day, and we had an article on our site in week 2 or week 3. The NFL comparison for him was basically Russell Wilson. When you look at the size, the arm strength, the ability to move out of the pocket, the Sterling College careers, both very, very smart football players. And I'd be surprised, given the physical limitations, the measurables, the stuff that the NFL scouts drool over, I'd be surprised if he won in the first or second round, quite frankly. But he's a guy who was a walk-on at Texas Tech, you know, left Texas Tech for Oklahoma, and has turned into a three-year starter who's probably going to end his career with at least three Big 12 titles, a Heisman Trophy, and maybe even much more. He's just a guy I would not bet against. I mean, if you get him in a camp, you know he's going to compete lights out each and every day and give himself a chance to make plays when he gets on the field. And even more than that, I know it's harder to measure, especially in a college game, just the way that entire program responds to him, whether it's a struggling defense, whether it's an offense that's a completely new set of skill players this year than they did last year when they won the Big 12. He just really seems to have that intangible effect where he makes everyone better, and that's just not a guy I want to bet against, even if I'll be absolutely shocked if he gets drafted in the first two rounds.
At @Matt_Fortuna from Matt Fortuna. He knows his college football. He's with The Athletic. Matt, thanks for the time as always, bud. Talk soon.
Anytime, guys. Thank you.
See you. Much appreciated, and check him out at The Athletic. We appreciate his time. Grant and Danny on The Fan next. Where does the NFC East rank among the toughest divisions to play in football? We'll give you the best, the worst, and slot the East in somewhere on Grant and Danny.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.